Hello?
Two best friends who were really great. One just up and moved away. Determined to maintain their relations, engage in stimulating conversations.
Phony and Collie!
Phony and Collie!
Phony and Collie Show!
Hello?
Sorry, so sorry. It was just freezing in here. I had to get a blanket.
I'm in my robe. I can't see you.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
You're not recording either, are you?
I am recording. Oh, I'm recording.
Too. I'm recording, too.
I know.
I'm already recording.
You were ready
on
earlier
time.
Than I was. And I feel bad.
You shouldn't feel bad. We got a lot done.
We got a lot done.
People don't know this, but we recorded one of the songs in the Christmas special just now. And of course, you know, it's 2022 now, but...
The Christmas special that you know and you love.
You love it. You think it was the greatest thing. And then it took off. It went viral. And people were like, oh my God, this is the greatest thing. They should have a television show. And we're now in the midst of already preparing to produce... I pre-bought 90 episodes.
Yeah, we're not doing the podcast anymore. We broke our contract with All Things Comedy.
We're doing a TV show now.
We're not even friends with each other anymore. We're professional rivals.
That's right. It's just like the Beatles. Just like the all Beatles thing. Oh.
Uh-oh.
Nice.
Hello? Uh-oh. Tony froze. Uh-oh.
Un-fucking-believable. Un-fucking-believable. And now
hi.
I'm here. This piece of shit.
I'm still recording.
Okay, submit, done. All right, record to this computer. I don't know why Zoom crashes so much.
My QuickTime crashes. It's a crashy world.
Shit. Well, it's also just like, fucking A, Zoom. You've been around long enough now. Your stock's like 500-600 a share. Get your shit together so your shit doesn't crash.
I should have gotten into Zoom. I remember I did a Zoom meeting with some people a couple years ago before the pandemic. They were like, "Oh, we'll do the meeting on Zoom." I was like, "What the fuck is Zoom? Don't you idiots have FaceTime or like whatever?" They're like, "Oh, it's this like new like, you know, you can have like tons of people in the meeting. It's this new like chat, you know, video message app." I was like, "Okay, whatever." And then of course, the pandemic happened and everybody's using Zoom.
Oh my God.
Hard to imagine a world where you're not talking about Zoom all the time.
Fucking stupid world.
And then Andrea was like, after the pandemic started and Zoom was taking off, Andrea was like, should we invest? Like, I think we should invest in Zoom. I was like, it's too late. The stock's already up. We'd be buying in high, but she's like, it's really popular. I'm like, yes, that's when you can't buy anymore. You have to get in before you know to get in.
That's so stupid. And then I try to like, sometimes when I was doing like stock market stuff, I'd be like, this is the one. This is the one that's going to take off. And then I would like put all my money in it and it would go up like $10. And I'd be like, oh my God, it's taken off. It's taken off. And then it would like shoot down to Shitsville, and then I would take my money out, panic that I would lose even more, and then it would go up the second I took my money out. And then I just
went, to know when to get out.
I don't know how to do any of it. I was like guessing, and it was dumb. And it really, I'd rather just go to a casino. It's more immediate.
You make money at the casinos.
I do make money at the casino.
How do you do that?
Is it a lie?
Real? Yeah.
No,
because you always
really
leave
do.
A casino, you go, I made $2,000, but...
Well, there's times I leave the casino and I don't say anything, and those are the times I lose money. I only say when I won.
In the arc of your gambling career, are you up or down?
oh, I'm up. I'm definitely up. Because one, I don't gamble that much. Like I, you know, probably when I was traveling, I would always, you know, if there was a casino, I would hit it one or two nights. But I'm up because I would play cards. Playing poker is how I would stay, like, you know, stay above water. I think the other thing is like you have to sort of like generally if I find, I mean, and there's no logic to this, but generally if you land on a table like a roulette table or something crazy and you hit, like if you get like a big hit where you make like $1,000 or $8,000 or something like big like that, I think the inclination is to go, well, now I have 8,000. So I could just play with 1,000 and I might even make more, right? Mm-hmm. And then what you do is you lose that 1,000 because of course it, you know, it's just luck that you won that time, right? So now you go, well, now I have 7,000, but I had 8,000 and I won. So let me put another 1,000 on the table and this time and I'll make at least back the 1,000. Then you don't do that. And then you're like, well, fuck this. You know what? I'm going to bet 2,000. I'm going to make crazy big bets and I'll hit on one of those. And then I'm going to make like 60,000. Then you lose that 2,000. And then you go, well, now I have $4,000. And somehow, even though you only started with like 400, you're like, I'm losing. I lost. And so then you, I'm not saying I do this. I'm saying then you bet the rest of it, just trying to chase back to your initial win. And then you end up leaving with nothing. So the key, it really is short hits at tables. So if you go to a table and you win like a good amount of money, like really anything over like, you know, if I have 400 and I triple or quadruple through that, like leave, like that's it. Yeah. You're not going to do better than that. So I think it's just having the ability to go, really go, all right, I just won $4,000. That's enough. That's enough. I'm not going to be the person who leaves with $1,000,000. I'm not going to be, nobody's the person who leaves with $1,000,000 because if you win too much, then they basically are like, you need to stay here or like you did something or like, we got to fucking rough you up. Like, you know, there is no way you win a shit ton of money at the casino. So
I'm
you should
happy
just
to
be
make
happy
just
with you
a little,
little bit.
When I went on, when I did that Vegas thing with Pally, that like travel show they shot about him, they gave us a per diem. They all went and gambled and like lost hundreds of dollars. Yeah, I played one blackjack game. I think I lost like $50 in like 1 minute. Yeah. And then I stopped and I just kept the per diem and I was up. I was the only one who made a couple hundred bucks per diem.
That's good. And the other thing is that this, that is really, you didn't win at gambling, but you just saved your money.
Right.
Which is winning. But
that's part of it.
Well, that is part of it. But I'll say like the other thing is money, it's like the stack you have behind you money-wise and time willing to spend. So like if you're playing at like a $25 blackjack table, let's say, you should have $1,000 behind you because you're probably going to have to lose a while until you hopefully hit a rhythm in the shoe where you're getting wins. Plus you also are dependent on the table not being full of fucking assholes. So it also has to do with like your staying power. So like there's a lot of people who go to a casino and they're like, well, I got $100 and they like sit down at the table with $100 and if you just happen to hit the low run of a deck, you're just going to piss that $100 away. And then you either go into the ATM to get more, and now you're breaking up the rhythm of the table because you left the table. Now you're joining a new table, which is a whole other rhythm of cards. So like there's all other sort of things happening. So you got to commit, like you sort of got to go, I'm committing to this amount of time.
I don't know the rules. I mean, I'm lucky because I don't know how to play at all. Like they tried to explain craps to me. I have no idea. It's like it looks like one of those like vision boards or something, like one of those things where like people put like crystals down on the mat with like the triangle with the third eye and the rays of light.
A Ouija board?
No, haven't you ever seen like... makeup people have them a lot in the trailer. It's like a little mat that has like little symbols and then they place their like quartz and amethyst and different crystals on it.
What do you work on? Satanist productions?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, Craps actually, if you pull everything away, Craps is essentially a win, don't win, or pass, don't pass bet. All the other things on Craps are sort of useless bets, except for maybe betting the cum, which is essentially betting the numbers above. All right.
Just betting all the right. cum. It always comes down to that. Crapping and cumming.
Crappy. That's why it's my favorite game, because it has the word crap and cum in it.
That's fun when you...
all right. Nice transition.
Well, talking about crapping and cumming.
Okay.
We've talked about this before, haven't you? Just like emptying out, that empty feeling.
Yeah, I love that empty feeling. I don't have it yet.
Big, nice shit. Then you fucking come on the floor.
Jesus. No, that's not part of my...
Then you spit, puke a little bit, pull a long hair out of your neck, pop a pimple, and you're totally drained.
Ew.
And then you can fucking eat.
Refill?
Yeah, then you refill.
I will say that this Toronto trip that I just returned from was I told you a little bit, but you told you a lot. I had like multiple meltdowns on you during this trip. And I realized it was because as nice as the place was, there was nowhere comfortable to sit and nowhere and the bed wasn't comfortable. And like, I've realized that that's a huge problem for me. Like the idea that there's no place in the entire place you're in to like sit and rest that feels comfortable.
The bed wasn't comfortable?
No. Oh, the bed was like, that bed made me think of like the bed I had when like I moved into my apartment in LA. Like it was like one of those like cheap, like fake, like a bad, like knockoff memory foam cover. And then like a spring mattress underneath. Mm. And it like bounced and squeaked too much when you like turned. And it just had that like, I'm 20 sleeping on a mattress feeling.
The couch wasn't comfortable?
The couch was leather. Oh. So you just slide around. I could not believe was a couch that has not only leather couch, but leather pillows. So when you try to stack the pillows, they just all slide down. It's like, why would you have leather pillows? Everything's leather. Leather's not comfortable to lie on. Leather's pillow is, and I would hate it. And I would lie there watching a movie, just trying to be like comfortable. Like I would sit there and be like, you're fine. You're fine. You're comfortable. You're comfortable. You're fine. But I wasn't. TV was at a fucking Tony. Angle.
Princess yeah. Tony and the pee.
You know, sometimes I sleep with my ear pods and I'll put a podcast in, but the way you have to do it is you have to take the ear pod won't keep the noise canceling going if you take one out. So what I do is I take the one out and then put it under the pillow and the pressure of the pillow on it makes it think it's in my ear, and then it will put the noise canceling back on that ear. So it acts like a sort of an earplug. And then I put an earplug in the other ear so that I'm, you know, in silence. But invariably,
you really are like a cyborg, basically. When you can't sleep without your tech implants, what are you?
No, I can sleep.
You can't sit. You can't relax. You need tech to just relax a little bit.
Well, sometimes I put in like soothing. Sometimes I play a podcast. Sometimes I put on my Crystal Bowles healing CD that I've been listening to since I was 14, by the way. I've been listening to this relaxation CD since I was 14. So
CD? It's lasted?
Well, I burned it. Many years ago, I burned it. And then I have transferred the MP3s. Even though now you can like get it on Spotify. Now you can like find this CD or this album, whatever the fuck it is people call it now. But I still use those MP3s. And I listened to Crystal Bowl Healing by Stephen Halperin. and I know the song so well, like I know the soundscapes so well that like my brain actually attunes to them. Like it's like, all right, now it's time to get a little sleepier on this part. Okay. Here's the sort of like stormy wave one with like high pitched crystal bowls and then like a real low one. And I'm like, time to fall really deep asleep. So like when I'm really having trouble, I use that. But then invariably in the middle of the night, the earbud will fall out of my ear and I will wake up. Just, this is going back to Princess and the Pea. I will wake up and be like, oh, oh, and I'll like be like, God, God. And like the little earbud will be like in my back somewhere. And I'll like have to jump out of bed and like get it. And I've been like angry before and been like, fuck an earbud, and like thrown it onto the ground and then like can't find it the next day.
My lord, my lord.
Yes.
There's a bedraggled man out in the storm. He claims he's a princess. Shall I let him in? He's very ornery.
You're telling me that a man is a pauper, is standing outside, claiming to be a princess.
I know not who this man is. He's swearing, he's cursing, he's very unhappy, but he says he's a princess, and he says that your lordship is duty-bound to host him this night.
Yes, it is true. I am duty-bound that if a man should present himself as a princess at our gate, it is written in the secret scriptures of our family that we must answer then heed the call. Please bring him in through the front gate. Through the heavy doors.
Should we test him to see if he's a princess?
Ah, you are a fine advisor, Allegracious. We shall indeed test him. Bring him forward.
I shall retrieve him now.
Oh, I better finish my smoothie before he arrives.
My lord, I present to you Princess Toni of Astoria.
Hi. How's it going?
Hello. I am King Cuckoo Cookie Face.
Bow to his lordship, King Cuckoo Cookie Face.
You gotta be fucking kidding me. What?
Excuse, this is no manner to speak to his lordship, the king.
I'm a fucking princess, buddy.
That remains to be seen, your highness.
Fine, fine, I'll bow. Oh, God, my fucking back.
You seem thanks. Tired, princess. Shall I escort you to your chambers for the night?
Okay. So just a quick meet and greet and it's off to bed? No dinner, oh. No nothing? I mean, it's like 5 o'clock.
Perhaps like you'd like to freshen bed? Yourself in your chambers before the meal.
Fine, fine, sure. Just point me where to go.
Right this way.
I got it from here. I don't need this. I don't need
no,
to
no,
like show.
I must show you.
No,
your...
no. This is the same thing happens to me at the Four Seasons and stuff. I don't need you taking me to the hotel room. I know how the hotel room works.
It's not a hotel room. This is the manse of his lordship, King Cuckoo.
All right.
It is King Cuckoo Cookieface. My goodness, my own right-hand man is not aware of his lord's name? Our kingdom that has spanned 2 millennia?
Sorry, your lordship. Don't trouble yourself any further. I'll handle it from here. You just relax and finish that smoothie of yours.
Yes. It is one of the more delicious smoothies that has been made for me. We'll see you soon enough, Princess Tawny, to see if you are who you say you are.
All right, all right.
Here is your chamber.
Oh, it's right off. Wow, it's like right off the main room. You don't have anything on a higher floor?
No, this is an old castle. The higher floors are for the bowmen in the parapets and the watchmen.
All right.
So that they may light the watchtowers of Amansul in the times of war.
Isn't that like from... That's like a Lord of the Rings thing, isn't it?
Very good, Your Highness. It is.
Yeah, my buddy John's constantly referring to that shit. I have no idea what he's talking about. Don't care about it.
There has been ill tidings from the Black Lands of late. Anyway, here is your chamber. We've outfitted it with a beautiful leather love couch.
Oh, you gotta be kidding me. Okay.
A large twin bed.
Wait a minute. Oh, I'm sorry. That's a little, a bit of an oxymoron. A large twin bed?
Oh, I think you'll find it to your liking. It's memory foam on springs.
Are you kidding me? What is this?
There's
No.
Wooden-backed woven chair.
Oh, come on!
That doesn't quite scooch into that table because the legs have, like, wood around them, so you can't really get your legs under the table.
I'm not even you. Aren't I supposed to freshen up or something? I don't even think I'm staying here. I don't want to stay here, by the way. I really just... Why don't you just point me to the bathroom and I'll freshen up, I guess. And then, like, but I don't like this room. I don't like the vibe of the room. It's like dark, but it's like too overlit. There's this leather sofa. I mean, hold on. Let me show you what happens if you get a leather sofa.
Mm-hmm. Show me.
Whoop. There I am on the floor. Let me try it again. Whoop. There I am on the floor again, just slipping off and hitting the floor every time, because it's a leather sofa, so there's no
You
grip.
Seem deeply troubled by your accommodations here.
Yes!
Thereby proving that you are the princess you say you are.
I told you!
And you shall be wedded to the king immediately.
What?
Our kingdoms will be joined.
Wait a minute.
Oh, glad day.
No,
oh,
no.
Happy day. Come with me back. Come with me now.
No, no,
come with
no,
me now.
No, no,
come with
no.
me now.
No, I
come
won't
with me
come
now.
With you now. I'm not coming with you now. I'm not.
Your king awaits you.
Hello. So, has it been made true? Is Princess Tawny the princess that he says that he is?
He is. He was quite unsatisfied with the accommodations.
This is the mark of a princess.
And, as everybody knows, what do kings do when they meet princesses? They don't claim them as their children, but instead fucking marry them?
Yes.
Okay.
A princess from another land. Don't question it. It obviously happened. It's not your daughter. Why would you claim a princess as your child? Let's take a step back.
Hold on. Doesn't it go king, queen, and then a prince and princess? Therefore, it is like daddy, mommy, son, daughter.
But royal houses are joined all the time. A king can't marry somebody who's already a queen. They have to marry someone of royal blood. It really makes sense. I really don't know why we're stopping here at this point.
Wait, hold on. Wouldn't a king just marry another queen, a queen whose husband had died?
Kings only marry widows?
That's what I thought. This is incredible. Now I can marry Princess Tawny, the sexiest princess in the land, with his huge, pumping cock bursting.
Hey, whoa! What's happening here?
Ah, Princess Tawny, you look radiant. I see you put on the gowns we left out for you.
Well, I figured. You told me to freshen up. I did everything. You know, one thing I do, I'm a professional. You say, hey, this is what we need to do. I do it because that's the kind of guy I am. I always deliver. You put me, I'll tell you this, I don't book auditions a lot, but if I get the job, I deliver. Okay? That's all I want to say. To anyone who might be listening, maybe for future posterity, the records of this interaction in the this beautiful castle are
manse.
Public. Manse?
It's a manse.
What's a manse?
A manse is like a well-appointed, stately
Doesn't
house,
a king
I
live
think.
In a castle?
Yes, his castle is quite grand, but this is his summer manse.
Are you kidding me?
Yes.
You got a bigger castle than this?
Yes. It is quite big. And you, my beautiful queen, shall rule it by my side.
Are you excited to live in a big castle, Princess Tony?
I have a question. Are there any rooms in that castle that have a normal, like, cloth-lined or, like, you know, covered sofa and a
king-sized
bed?
But of course, that
bed?
Was just the testing room.
Oh,
you
it
shall
was?
Have the grandest accommodations from now on.
Really? Valet? Is valet included?
Valet's included.
You guys do Eggs Benny?
Oh, of course.
Fuck it, sure.
All that's left
what
to do
What about my
is...
wife? Can my wife come with me?
She can maybe work in the stables or the scullery.
That's fine.
All that's left now is to check your cock for virgin status.
Oh, I hope you mean Virgin Atlantic, like, point status? Because I am a Virgin Atlantic member.
That's very funny. King Cuckoo Muffin loves a sense of humor.
It's King Cuckoo Cookie Face, you idiot! You are fired!
What?
You are fired. Show me this cock.
All right. There it is.
This is not a virgin cock. This thing is gray like E.T. when he's in that little pond, when he's all gray and withered before they resuscitate him. It looks like it has years of mileage on it. In fact, it has been used so much that the circumcision scar has actually slowly slid backwards on your cock. And it's further back on it than it was when you were a young man.
What? Let me see. I know I'm fired, but let me just see this for a moment.
Ow! Ow!
What? How did this happen?
I don't know. Probably between jerking and fucking.
What? Unfortunately, the wedding is canceled.
You gotta be kidding me. I really only came here to use the bathroom.
Well, then do it here, in front of the king, and be gone with you.
All right.
Princess Tony.
Oh, don't call me. I haven't earned the title.
It is true. Between your worn cock and your failing bowels, you would make a terrible princess. Off with his head. His cock head, that is.
And they chopped off his dick.
Well, we almost did it.
How should we have ended that?
Oh, look, now it's time for our three-way with our amazing guest. She's right here. She's joining us as we speak. She's fumbling with her mic. She's going to turn the camera on. She's slowly... Yeah, there she is!
Hi! Nicole Byers!
It's me!
Oh my God, it's super fucking star Nicole Byer. It is like being in the presence of like the sun itself, who is drinking the largest iced coffee I've ever seen.
Yeah, it's not that big. It's just a venti.
It's a vent. I guess it's a little trick of the camera.
Yeah, maybe.
Well, the sunlight is refracting through it just...
My God.
Beautiful.
I love your
refracting
sweater.
Is a great word. Thank you. It's got little elephants on it.
Yeah, it's beautiful. We're all real cozy, I have to say. Everyone here is cozy. John
it's
had a
freezing.
Blanket on him earlier, like he was an elderly woman.
It's so sunny where you are. Is it cold? I'm freezing.
Well, yeah, the sun just like hit from like just that angle, but it's like, I don't know. LA's 50 degrees right now. It's so cold.
Oh, give me a break,
you
two.
It's so chilly.
Spare me the bullshit.
50 degrees.
Yeah, meanwhile, it was 50 degrees out today, and I was like, what a great walking, like, what great walking weather today. There we go. We're all blanketed up. It's like we're all, it's like we're having a Game of Thrones cosplay.
I
barely
love it.
Got thrones out.
How like, are you, thrones? Nicole?
I'm Hi. Good, Gamberling. How are you?
I'm well. I mean, we're doing a lot of work on this podcast, which is stressful.
Okay, fair.
How do you do it? Does it stress you out? You do a lot. Doesn't it stress
yeah.
you out?
Yeah, and I'm done. I... So, like, why? I'm going to end one of them this at the end of this year, but I haven't told the company yet. But I'm like, I can't do it anymore. And then I'm going to end another one that, like, Lapkus, Lauren Lapkus, and I like review movie shit.
Yeah.
I'm like, I can't do this anymore. I'm tired.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you're
when
doing.
When do you think we'll hit that point?
Yeah. When will we hit that point? We're 10 episodes in.
Okay. I would assume. Probably like 20, and you'll be like, what are we doing? Why are we doing this?
Oh, I say this to John daily. I'm like, why are we doing this? We're making no money. The company ignores us. We're like we're completely like what? Why? I mean, I feel like I'm already near death at this point. Like I already, I guess, had a career.
Already had a career. No, you're thriving. You look good. You look great.
Wait, look at us. Wait, look at us.
Both of you look great.
Thank you.
I had to get rid of that Trump. I had to get rid of the Trump part of myself.
I mean, God bless. That went long. That went on longer than I thought it would. Who thought he was going to be president for 4 whole years?
I know. I know. And I'm so glad it's
Wait,
over.
The presidency the Tony's impression?
No. Both. The presidency. I was like, surely this won't last. Wait,
He'll
should I be
back.
Recording? No.
Oh, yeah, you should be recording.
Zoopsies!
That's okay, we have you on the Zoom, too.
Okay, perfect.
Yeah, definitely record.
Sorry, I didn't know if we had begun.
Oh, I know, we really should start telling the guests that we just, like, launch them right into... our whole thing is to try to do it so that we don't even have to edit it.
Fair.
And because also we also stack the deck against ourselves by doing like sound effects and stuff on our improv scenes, which seemed like a good idea at the time.
We put a lot of work into it.
I love this. I love effort. I think effort is good. Although I don't want to do it anymore. I'm like tired.
Yeah, well, you have a stand-up special that just came out.
Yeah.
You have Garrett Morris by the way, what is Garrett Morris in this, I'm sorry, it's called...
It's called Grand Crew.
Grand
it's
Crew.
It's on NBC, premieres tomorrow for a little sneaky peek.
Unbelievable.
So he is the narrator through the cold open, and then we never see him again.
And wait, is it just the first episode and then we never see Garrett Morris?
Just the first episode. He says, hi, God. Hello. Here's what's up. I'll never see you again. Bye-bye.
When are they going to give Garrett Morris a full break?
I don't know. You know, he's had zero opportunities. He's so young and spry. I'm just waiting for him to break.
I mean, I did love the like preview they did. There was like one preview online that was like 4.5 minutes.
Uh-huh.
And I was like watching it going, God, this is an odd amount of time. Like it's almost the episode length. Like I kept being like, is it all right? Okay. I was like, are we just watching it now? What's happening? And then it was over.
I mean, I've truly never been a part of anything where the network is like proud of it in the beginning. But I think what's happening is, and this is just my hypothesis, is they're like, we want you to watch it. So we're going to let you see a chunk of it.
Yeah.
So then you're like, I'm interested. Let me tune in, which is what I think is going on. I don't know. I'm really happy about it.
Oh, it's great. I mean, I watched it and after 4.5 minutes, I went, absolutely. That's it. I'll never watch this.
Never. Goodbye.
I was like, you took too much time in the preview. Now, Nicole, I just want to say, I remember the days of desk Nicole.
Yes.
Front desk Nicole.
Yes.
Where I would come in and I would shit all over.
Where was front desk?
Well, this is when Nicole was the front desk at UCB.
I don't remember that.
Well, you were never around there.
Yeah, you weren't teaching.
Right.
But I would would shoot the shit with Nicole and shit all over the school.
Uh-huh.
All over the students.
Uh-huh.
All over all the other improvisers and say how many problems we had with the school.
Mm-hmm.
And usually I would be high and Nicole would be hungover. That would be the combination.
And there was one day, I think I told you this, I fell asleep in the teacher's lounge in the back. And you were like, Nicole, what are you doing? You're so talented. Don't do this to yourself. And I was like, okay.
Really?
Yeah. And I thought about it a lot in my late 20s as I was partying. I'd be like, maybe I should just go to sleep and wake up and not be hungover for the next thing I have to work on.
Yeah.
What were you supposed to not be doing?
Not be so hungover that I had to fall asleep during my shift on a couch.
Well, you know what it was, I will say, because I remember that. It was that, and I guess there's a little bit of projection there, right? Which is I was so fucked up through my 20s, most of my 20s, right? And I think that when I was like, oh my God, maybe I can stop someone else from having the well of regrets that have informed the rest of my life. And so I was like, I'll maybe I can help by saying something and being like, hey, wait, chill out. And then
it
of
worked.
Course, well, I'm glad it worked. I'm sure at the time afterwards, I was like, oh God, nobody wants to fucking listen to you. These young people are like, oh, this old fart's walking in here telling me to straighten up and fly right.
It was helpful. It really was.
You took it to heart?
I did a little bit because I was like, maybe I am just wasting my time just drinking every night. And in hindsight, I mean, I wouldn't trade it for the world, but you know, now when I go out, I'm like, oh, I don't have to get fucking shit-faced. I can just have two glasses of wine and go to sleep.
Yeah, and it's bad. Well, also, I just knew how you could see from the instant I saw you perform. I was like, oh, okay, so there's a person who will just, they'll be famous someday, and I'll just wait until that happens. And then it just happened. And I mean, I've written you before. I've been like, I love it too, because I wrote you one time. I was like, you know, I bake this thing. And you're like, I don't know shit about baking. I don't fucking care. I just host the show.
You wanted to get on Nailed It?
No, I didn't want to get on Nailed It. I just was bragging about what I could bake. It wasn't
and
even
I was
that.
Cool.
It wasn't even a plea to be on the show. It was just, I bake things. Don't you think that's cool?
I was like, yeah, I love that. That's wonderful. It is funny because a lot of people are like, I want to tell you about it. And I'm like, I've never baked. I don't bake.
Now, kids like you a lot, right? Nailed It and stuff.
John, your kids Odin, like me, right?
Oh, yeah.
Odin had a serious Nicole phase where he was watching Nailed It all the time. What is it? Why do they love you so much?
I think it's because they know I'm an adult. I have a round, chubby face. And I'm having fun. So they're like, this cherub-like adult is being silly, where a lot of adults in my life tell me no and aren't silly.
Yeah,
right.
I think that's what it is.
That is what it is.
I tell you his two celebrity people he's been obsessed with at various times are you and Joey Fatone.
I couldn't be in better company. How random.
He really loves Joey Fatone.
Not anymore, but there was a 2-month period where he loved Joey Fatone and got all this merchandise and because he loved the Masked Singer. Masked Singer.
Okay. The Masked
Singer. That's so funny. Was he a contestant on The Masked Singer?
Joey Fatone was a contestant on The Masked Singer, yeah.
He was?
But you don't even know you don't even know it's him until he takes the mask off at the end, so.
And then he was like, I love that unmasked man.
Yeah.
He's my everything.
Yeah. I think he was dressed up as like a weird, like cybernetic wolf, like emo goth type thing. And he loved the costume. And then I think he just loved Joey Fatone.
I honestly, that's the nicest thing I've ever heard. Your kid likes you and Joey Fatone. Did you see Wendy Williams on The Masked Singer?
No.
Yes.
Wendy Williams and Caitlyn Jenner are two of the most iconic performances I've seen in the history of performing.
Really?
I didn't say they were good. They're iconic.
I mean, Wendy Williams is, she's now checked in somewhere, right?
I think so, but also I feel like there's like conflicting reports. I just know she hasn't done her show in a while because she's...
You know, I have a buddy who was her producer for years on that show.
Wow,
and
the stories.
I got stories that
are crazy.
What including some like serious diarrhea drippings right before filming. Just like literally like... Like, he'd be like, what's that? And it would just be like, shit on the floor. And then she'd like, go out and do the show.
Are you going to have to cut this?
I don't know. We'll just wait and see. My favorite, though, is the one with the guy when she did the whole thing about the guy with the social media followers.
Oh, my God. It was like, she was so funny.
Who was murdered?
Yes. Where she's like, do you know who this is? I don't either. He's got more followers than me. Isn't that crazy? He was savagely murdered. And you're like,
I never fucking heard of him.
I love that
I
so
never
much.
Heard of him.
It was so funny. So is Wendy Williams on your show? No.
Wendy Williams is on my show. That's why she hasn't been doing her show. She's been filming with us. No, I wish. She makes me laugh so hard.
I have a real question. Do you think the fact that John and I are doing a podcast that's about long distance friendship is that we just directly did a rip of your podcast with Sashir?
No, because Sashir lives in LA, so we're not long distance.
It's a local friendship.
We got nervous. Do you know when we were planning this podcast, I at one point said, we don't want to do like a best friends podcast and then like that will look like we're copying them.
No, there's a lot of best friends podcasts.
No.
Jenna Fisher and Angela Kinsey, they have one, but they talk about The Office. Have you guys watched The Office?
So you're into The Office. You wrote recently about Pam, like some scene with Pam and what's his name?
Okay, so it's beach episode where Pam walks on the coals. She's like really feeling herself. The adrenaline's rushing. And she like says this speech where she's like, I miss our friendship, Jim. And then it's like the end of Pam or Jim and Karen, which I'm so happy about because I love Karen. Very beautiful, but like not for Jim. I'm not rooting for them. And I just really love that episode. Yeah, I'm watching it for the first time. You guys, it is so funny.
This is how I feel like this about when I watch Friends, because I never watched Friends, and then I watched it on Netflix.
You didn't?
I never watched Friends was on when I was like freebasing cocaine. Like I was not I was not into watching. I think one time I screamed at David Schwimmer in like a 7-Eleven parking lot. That was the closest I came to acknowledging Fringe. I mean, Friends. Oh, God.
Fringe, you've seen.
And then I rewatched it, and I was like, oh, my God, Friends is a great show.
Maybe I'll watch Friends next, but boy, The Office.
But
I'm
so
invested.
For you, this is like you never watched The Office.
Never watched it, and I don't know why I never did, but I saw some clips on Instagram, and I was like, this seems really funny, and then just never got around to watching it. Then I have a friend who was like, you got to watch it. We're going to watch it. We're going to hang out and watch it. And I was like, all right. And I've just been watching it.
What
and just
season
really,
are you in now?
I'm towards the end of season 3. And
oh, so you're still early. Like, not a lot of the cast turnovers have happened yet.
That's what people have warned me. And I'm like, what? Although, Jim did go to, not Scranton. They're in Scranton. He went to, I don't know, another office. And there was, like, the Bizarro office. And that made me so mad. But then those people are leaving. And then I was like, Ed Helms, why is he back? Not to be rude. Ed Helms listens to this. No
Trust
shade.
Trust me,
but...
Ed Helms won't listen to this.
But his character's so annoying.
That show did have a massive cast by the end. I remember being in a casting place at NBC, like in New York years ago, but like The Office was in its, you know, later seasons. And like, I think Steve Carell left at a certain point, right?
Mm-hmm. I just found this out like a couple weeks ago.
Like he had left and like some of the major stuff. And there was a poster, a show poster on the wall in the casting place for The Office. And it was a current poster. And Steve Carell wasn't in it, but it was like they were milling around a lake by the park. You know, it was one of those Photoshopped show posters. Mm-hmm. And there were like 30 people in the poster. None of them were Steve Carell. Oh. It was like Zach Woods. And like, I was like, there's so many people in this
fucking
show.
What a payout that show must have been. You imagine?
Yeah, so much that money. Like, you didn't have to work again.
No. No, you
like,
didn't.
A lot of them I don't really, like, I don't think I've seen Stanley in anything or Kevin or Phyllis. I love Phyllis.
I think Stanley is big on Cameo. I think he, like, made the most money on Cameo. I think he, like, made, like, $1 million during the pandemic or something.
$1 million? How wild.
Can you imagine doing, that would mean you're essentially doing Cameo videos all, like, for, like, 8 hours a day.
I guess that's a job. But also, if you set the price high enough, maybe you do a couple a day. I was like, I'll get on Cameo. I'll charge people $100,000. No, I'm kidding. But, like, kind of. But I just, I don't have the time to say, happy birthday, Brittany. Love to you and yours, Stephen. Like, I just, it's a lot.
And then Stephen Hawking and Britney Spears are, like, so pissed that their requests got denied. He was like shutting down my oxygen.
He would always say that. Stephen Hawking would always say that when he shut down his oxygen. It was so funny.
Shutting down oxygen.
Well, what I wanted to say is that I think you and I have a penchant for the same thing, which are these Karen freakout videos.
Yeah, I fucking love them.
Do you watch Cringe Report? Do you watch Cringe Report?
No, what's
Cringe
Report?
I am going to send you a YouTube channel that is just a compilation of the best freakouts, and it is like candy to the brain.
Boy, oh boy. Because, I mean, he's not a Karen, but that little man in Boston who, like, freaked out in a bagel shop. I watched
Long
that video.
Island. That
was
Long
punched. Island, yes.
Didn't he get, like, knocked over or something?
Yeah.
Yeah. I've watched that video so many times. Yeah. I love him.
Yeah, he's the best.
Angry people.
I love angry. I love that, and I love road rage freakouts. I love watching. I love the ones where the person just gets in the car and they just start like backing up and like screaming out of the car and doing donuts and banging into cars. Mm-hmm. I love watching a person lose it so hard that they just say, "Fuck it, I'm just gonna slam into cars and try to hit people." There's something really rewarding about it.
Do you guys find it frightening in any way, though? There is a disturbing, like, what's happening to people sort of element.
Yeah, I mean, when that story came out about that man who had to be duct taped to his chair on an airplane, I was like, I think everyone's mentally ill and we're not addressing it. Uh-huh. It's just a bunch of crazy people just trying to get through it and getting duct taped to their seat. Like, it's not working.
Are you nervous? Like, I will say that I just had to film in Toronto. And I've been driving, and they're like, "Well, you will fly you." And I'm like, "If I don't have to get on a plane, I'm not gonna." Mm-hmm. Like, I only want to get on a plane if I absolutely have to, and it's a long haul flight. I don't want any of those regional bullshit flights because that's where all the crazies get on.
I've been flying not a lot, and I've been like trying to lay low, but American Airlines canceled my flight on Thanksgiving. They were just like, "Oh, we rebooked you for 8:30. And I thought it was for the same day. I didn't read the fine print. They rebooked me for the next fucking day. But everyone on that flight was pretty crazy.
Print?
Huh?
They put the date in the fine print.
Oh, yeah, baby. They're trying to confuse you and keep your money. But everyone on that flight was pretty wild. Like, people were just like, their masks were down. And I was like, whether you believe in it or not, like, planes are nasty, you know?
Yeah, planes are nasty to begin with. Listen, people, I know I used to yell to you about this when I would come into class and there I would teach and like the first 10 minutes, someone would be like, I'd be like, "Hey, you didn't like do this, you know, in the warm up, like make sure you do that." And they're like, "Oh, I'm sorry. I'm just I don't feel so good. And I go, what? I go, what do you mean? And they go, mm-hmm. Well, I'm a little sick. I go, do you have a temperature? They're like, oh yeah, but it's just 100. And I would be like, get the fuck out of the room.
Mm-hmm.
And they would look at me like, excuse me? And I'd be like, listen, I don't have fucking healthcare and I'm teaching improv and I'm an actor. Okay? And your shitty ass that doesn't even have any fucking talent is not going to fuck me by being sick in this fucking enclosed room with no ventilation, you dumb fuck. Stay home.
Yeah.
So this is before the pandemic. So I personally am in love with the idea that everybody is now like, oh, you're sick? You're a piece of shit.
Yeah,
and that's
go
how it
home.
Should be. If you're sick, you're a piece of shit.
Yeah, if you're ill, oh, go fuck yourself.
This is the compassion of Tony. This literally, anything, even on the phone, if I'm like, oh, I'm not feeling well, his first reaction is not like, oh, I'm sorry. It's, oh, well, don't come near me. Get the fuck away from me.
And it's like, I live in a whole other state. I'm not coming near you.
I'll tell you, even when he's sick on the phone, oh boy, uh-oh. No, even when he's
no,
sick.
No, it's from cough. I just said it's from coughing. It's from smoking.
Oh.
I'm trying to quit.
What do you smoke?
What?
What do you smoke?
Marlboro menthols.
Ooh, that's the killer is the menthol.
How long have you been doing that?
Probably since I was 15, so a minute.
Wow.
I love him.
Yep.
I read this book called The Easy Way to Quit by Alan Carr.
I've read it 3 times.
Midway through, or like towards the end, I was like, oh, I think I actually want to quit. So I stopped reading it.
No, you got to read it all the way through.
I know. And every now and again, I'll smoke
There's a cigarette.
There's
rolling papers
and
on
I'm
the
like,
last page.
Ugh, ugh, ugh. But then I'm like, no, power through it. You love them.
Yes.
Yeah.
No, I get it because I've struggled with it, you know, my whole adult life.
The first 3 drags are the best. And then I'm like, just finishing it to finish it.
Yeah.
But I'm going to finish it, the book. It's in my bed currently because I'm like, you gotta start it at some point. I'm like, I'll read it before bed. And I'm like, I don't want to. I just don't want to. I don't want to.
That's like any book for me.
Yeah.
Every book for me is like, oh, I'm like, I should read. And then I'll read like 10 pages. And I'm like, mm-hmm. I'm tired, man. This
it becomes exhausting.
Exhausting.
It's hard.
I've been reading Moby Dick for like 2 years.
Ugh.
Well, that's a big book.
It's not that big. It's just sort of dense.
Isn't that the same thing as big?
Well, it's not long. It's just like, you know, the language is old enough that it's you got to sort of read it twice to really understand what they're talking about.
Who cares about
And it's like
dick?
Lists of like different types of whales and stuff. Mm. But it's funny, but
this
I can't
is why
read.
You do all these baleen things and all this whale information in your Johnny's
no,
game.
No.
He really is talking a lot about like sea creatures and shit.
Oh, that's fun. I love to hear that. I love dolphins.
Yeah. What do you think? What do you think about
them?
One
of the sea creatures that I like. They're so smooth. And then they smile at you. And then if you make noise at them, they make noise back at you. So it's a nice, fun time when you see them.
Oh, my God.
They're very smart.
They have big brains and big cocks.
Do they?
Yeah, they got big. Dolphins have big dicks.
I did not know that. That makes me like them even more. What?
Dolphins fuck people. Yeah, if you swim with the dolphins, they might fuck you. And that's real.
Wow, I'm, you know, a single woman, so maybe I'm gonna go swimming with them dolphins.
My God, that'd be so great to go swimming with the dolphins and the dolphin fucks you.
I mean, it would be nice. It would be refreshing. I would get, you know, my money's worth. Wait, how long have you guys been best friends?
Oh, God.
Oh.
15 years? I mean, best friends, maybe like 13 years.
Ooh, wow.
Well, there was a getting to know you period.
2 years where you were unsure. Okay.
I was scared of John when I first met him.
Why?
Because he was so funny and so, like, he seemed so powerful and together. And of course, I learned that wasn't true, but.
okay.
But no, he seemed so sort of like just almost like celestial, you know?
Mm.
And so I feel like. I think to myself, and I have a sense of worthlessness that's so deep, you know, that I already am like, I'm worthless. Like, nobody wants to like me or be around me. So there's already that happening. And then I think when we would perform together, I basically was like, well, we'll become friends if he likes performing with me.
And so can I say something? Can we get a little of that attitude back? I feel like we've lost a little of the frightened of the celestial thing. It's become a little too
aggressive,
free and familiar. Yeah. Let's go back to the powerful celestial.
When did you and Sashir become best friends?
I think maybe 10 years ago. Let's see. I started doing improv in 2008. So I think I met her in 2009. That's 10 years? No. 11?
It's 12 years. 11 12 years.
Boy, oh boy.
Well, this will come out in 2022, so.
Yeah, it'll be 12 years.
Okay, it'll be 12 years.
And you haven't aged a fucking day, by the way.
Thank you. Oh,
it's
my
insane
God.
To me. You look exactly the same.
Thank you.
Neither have I.
Because black don't what?
Crack.
We met, and I thought she was so funny. And then, I don't know. We like hung out at McManus one time, and then she would just hang out with me while I worked the front desk, and we just kind of never left each other.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think
she
that's
was so
it. I think
pretty and funny.
I think John and I probably bonded over the fact that we like to walk. We always walked places. Mm-hmm. We like taking lots of walks around. That was my favorite thing about the city when
we
John
just liked to
here.
Get high, and there wasn't anywhere to do it.
Right. So we walked. God, why we are you walked. Doing this? Why do you do this? Why do you distance yourself from me?
I'm not. I just think it's, I don't think we bonded over walking. We like to hang around, I guess. Yeah.
And that was included walking. My fucking God.
We do like to walk around the city.
Don't you think friendship partly is the fact that you are like able to tell the person the thing, like you enjoy the things you can't stand about the person too.
Yes.
Like that's like the rare quality is like, that's all that separates friendship from not liking someone is that you're like, oh, I like you. So even the things that annoy me about you, I like, they're entertaining to me.
Yeah. Like I just learned that when I'm wrong about things, Sashir doesn't correct me because she said her own words, that would just be our whole dynamic. Our whole conversation would be me correcting you on all the things you were wrong about. And I was like, oh, okay. And I said to a friend, I was like, oh, I watched Spider-Man Into the Universe with Sashir. And he was like, no. I was like, what do you mean no? He's like, that's not the name of the movie. And I was like, yes, it is. He's like, no, it's not. Text Sashir. And then I was like, okay, so I should ask her what the name of the movie is. He's like, no. Text her, how much of it did you watch? I said, okay. So I was like, how much of Spider-Man Into the Universe did we watch? She was like, 40 minutes. And then I was like, yeah, she doesn't know the fucking name of the movie either. And then I told her later about the text, and she's like, oh, I just didn't want to correct you because, like, what's the point? Like, you were close enough.
Yeah. Oh, okay. God. Oh, no. I'm the Nicole in our relationship, John.
Yes, except if Sashir were to correct you, would you like lash out in anger?
Well, there was one time where I told her about a gallon of ranch that I had in my refrigerator for a year, and she was like, a year? When did it expire? And I was like, I don't know. Do you check everything you put in your body? So, you know, sometimes I lash out, sometimes I don't.
Yeah.
Nicole, are you familiar with Johnny's Game?
No, what's Johnny's Game?
Nobody
Tony,
is.
Tell Nicole what Johnny's Game is.
Oh, God. Johnny's Game is a game John's played with me privately for the duration of our friendship, where he gives a sort of question that has a pun answer.
Sort of a setup to a joke.
It's like a
or
setup
a
to
play.
A joke, but the the answer is a pun or a play on words. And I find mostly it was for him to lord his intellect over me. And now it's the most popular part of our podcast. Really, the only popular part, ignoring all the other work and especially the work I do on the podcast.
Okay. So I have to guess the pun?
Well, we could play against each other.
You can play
or
as a
with
team.
Each other.
Okay, let's play with each other because I'm bad at puns.
Okay, good. So am I, but I know his game now better, so I think I can get us over the
hump. And remember, the points are less if you play as a team. You get less amount of points for each right answer.
Which doesn't matter, because he'll tell us we lose regardless at the end.
Nicole Byer, are you ready to play Johnny's game?
I am ready.
Anthony, are you ready?
Yeah, I'm ready. Let's go.
All right. Time for Johnny's game. What did the shepherd say when the sheep kept trying to get his attention? What did the shepherd finally say when the sheep kept trying to get his attention? The shepherd wasn't interested in listening to him at that moment. What did the shepherd say when the sheep
Will you please shut up?
No, but that was pretty good.
Be quiet. I don't know.
I assume that was trying to make the baa sound of a sheep. But not what we were looking for.
No. Okay, wait, the shepherd.
Little Bo speak.
Little Bo speak. No. Makes much more sense than that.
Makes
what did
much
the shepherd
more,
say
the shepherd
when
said
the
to the sheep,
sheep kept trying to get his attention?
He said, bah, humbug.
I don't know. What?
That's a really hard one.
You guys give up?
I guess so.
Yeah, I think so.
So quickly? When the sheep kept trying to get the shepherd's attention, finally the shepherd said, I heard you.
No.
Oh, fuck off.
Okay.
Fuck off.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. This is not an easier one. Oh, here we go. Number two. What does the person with the heavy Bronx accent call it when they see a medieval poet/singer toss potential chicken children?
What?
What does the person with the heavy Bronx
has a heavy Bronx accent. Okay. What do they call it when they see a medieval poet toss potential chicken children?
Potential chicken children?
Eggs?
Yeah.
Eggs. They're tossing eggs.
But the person with the heavy Bronx accent, they see a medieval poet or singer or whatever tossing these potential
Well, that's a bard. A bard is what you're saying. So a bawd.
A bard, a bawd, and then eggs.
Nice bawd eggs?
You bought eggs?
No. They're not asking him if they bawd.
Okay. Bawd tosses eggs?
Are we close?
Sort of, but I'm not gonna
sort of
toss. It's toss. It's a different word.
Throw.
But it's a Bronx accent.
Throw.
Bawd throw eggs. That bawd's throwing eggs.
You're sort of in the zone, but this person. What does this person with a heavy Bronx accent call it when they see a medieval poet singer tossing?
Do they go, nice bod and eggs for days?
No. What's the thinking behind that?
Nice body, legs for days?
No, they're not catcalling, though.
Tossing eggs.
I just think Bronx, you know, you think of some fucking chauvinist pig.
Sure.
Bod throws a cart.
What do they call it?
Bod throw eggs.
Is that bod's making
it? Not bod throw eggs.
Body check. Eggs.
Body pregnant. No. I don't know. Eggs.
Bod eggs?
Remember, it's a word play. It adds up to something.
Bod.
Body chick.
Body check. That's it. Okay, that's our final answer. Body check.
No, the person with the heavy Bronx accent who sees the medieval poet singer tossing potential chicken children, they call it bard-hoiled eggs.
Oh, wow. Gotta say.
Bard-hoiled eggs.
Yeah.
Oh, no. No.
Bard-hoiled eggs.
No. No.
Wow.
Fuck
wow,
you.
That one's tough. Do we get another one?
Yeah, we get one more.
One more. Possibly the most difficult.
These are terrible today. These are, by the way, the worst ones you've done. Keep going.
Are you guys ready? Many people don't know that Macy Gray actually wrote an unreleased song from the perspective of Mama from the film Throw Mama from the Train. How did it go? Please sing your answer. Many people don't know
that Macy Gray actually wrote a song from the perspective of...
I tried to say goodbye and I choke, try to walk away. I don't know the name of the song, though.
You don't have to know the name of the song.
Sing the lyrics.
Sing the lyrics of the song that Macy Gray wrote from the perspective of Mama from the film Throw Mama from the Train.
So take everything you know from the train.
Take everything that you know about the movie Throw Mama from the Train.
I've never heard of this movie.
What?
Yeah, so this is going to be hard for me.
Anne Ramsey. Danny DeVito.
The train's changing.
Train's changing.
Not train's changing.
Train's changing. Train.
Train's changing.
No.
Train's. Train's going. I'm not on board. I got thrown. Thrown into the sky. Not my baby. I am not here. I don't know.
You know what? She wins for that.
She wins for that.
She wins for that. Because I don't.
She wins for that.
What is it, John?
Well, this isn't going to make any sense to you, Nicole. No. You haven't seen the movie. You don't know about it.
Yes.
When Macy Gray wrote an unreleased song from the perspective of Mama from the film Throw Mama from the Train, it went a little something like this. The unsalted nuts make me choke. You don't have a cousin, Patty.
I mean, I try to hide it.
It's clear. It's too goddamn sultry in here.
You're absolutely right. I do not get it.
Adrian, it's just like.
Do you get it, Tony?
I mean, I do, but it's like your answer is not meant to be an answer. It's meant to you to show off your.
It was an excuse. You revealed the agenda. It was an excuse for me to sing my really funny lyrics for the Throw Mama from the Train song. And for that, you get 3 points.
Wow, yeah!
You found the secret agenda!
Oh, I forgot to tell you, if you reveal John's secret agenda during the game, then you win. And now I get to put all sorts of winning sound effects in.
Oh, that's going to be fun to hear.
Nicole's like, is this over?
It's very nearly over.
No, I'm having a very nice time.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, we're wrapping up.
Sorry, we're wrapping it
Nicole,
up.
Nicole, do you have anything you would like to plug?
Hell yeah, dude. My podcast, Why Won't You Date Me? Best Friends with Sashir Zameda. Newcomers with Lauren Lapkus. 90 Day Bay with Marcy Jarrow. I'm Tired. My special Big Beautiful Weirdo streaming on Netflix. Grand Cruz is on NBC.
Wow.
Nailed It is on Netflix. Wipeout is on TBS.
Holy shit.
This is success. This is the most plugs I think I've ever heard.
Can we all both get a loan from you?
Yeah. How much you want? $2? $3?
Yeah, I'm giving out $3. I'll take three.
Thank you for taking the time to wrap yourself in a blanket and speak to us.
Thank you for having me and reminding me.
Yes,
I know. The email was very helpful.
Well, we love you, and I miss you, Nicole. It was great to talk
with you. I miss you. When you come to L.A., let me know. And John, let me know if you want to have like a little dinner, and I can bring my friend John Millheiser, and we can make a whole night of it.
Let's do it again.
Yeah.
Thank you for joining us on the Phony and Collie Show.
Thank you, Nicole. Bye.